Get to 2 Kings chapter 9 in your Bible tonight. 2 Kings chapter 9. Find your place there. We've finished. I pretty much have kind of run the course as far as those lessons on returning from lockdown out of the book of Ezra. And, of course, next week being the Thanksgiving play and Thanksgiving Day, we'll probably have a lesson along those lines. And so here we sit tonight with kind of an isolated lesson. I don't want to start a series and then stop it. So I want to talk to you tonight about something that's just on my heart, kind of opened the doors of transparency to my heart, and ask you to help pray about something as we move forward here. But in 2 Kings chapter 19, look with me beginning at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it," I'll go into that in just a minute, "that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord." This is 2 Kings 19. "And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priest, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, This day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah." Now, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, sent his army to form a tight circle around the city of Jerusalem to cut it off from all outside influences and commerce, and ultimately to overthrow it. Rabshakeh was his spokesman, and he was attempting through loud speeches to convince the people of Jerusalem that there was no hope, they were doomed, they should just throw in the towel. I would imagine Rabshakeh saying something like, "Concede. You lost. There's no hard evidence of voter fraud. Yak, 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 yak." And people, the truth of the matter is, I'm not speaking on this tonight, but the more pressure they place on President Trump to concede, the louder they yell, the more I believe they know there are thousands of illegal votes out there. And who knows where this thing is going. Pastor Brown sent me a text this day, just before the service, maybe half an hour, 6:30 or so. And he that pastor, y'all hear that? That must be in this thing. That you hear that, Jacob? It must be in this box right here. But he's got a son-in-law that pastors out in North Carolina, almost at the Virginia border. And he has a closed Facebook page that he goes to once a week with the elderly people in the church that aren't coming out to the services. And he just has a little time to talk with them and visit with them. And I guess they can submit prayer. Okay, I don't know. We'll just get off this and find out what the... Maybe that connection is not good, but we'll just go back to this, Jake, if you don't mind. So I'm not sure how it all works, but they can send prayer requests in to that Facebook page. And today he was conducting that service online on his closed Facebook page. And one of the elderly people sent a prayer request that simply said, four words, pray for the election. That's all it said. Didn't say anything disparaging about Democrats or Republicans or whatever, but it just said, pray for the election. And immediately, on the Facebook, on that thing, this pops up, these words, for proper information, and gave them a link to go to for proper information about the election and how Joe Biden has won it. You know, and I wonder how long it's going to be before God's people get a belly full of Facebook. We're done. We're moving our live stream off Facebook. We're moving our live stream to our internet, our website page. It's going to cost us $20 a month. I'll gladly pay the $240 to not give it, to not have a dime going to Facebook. We're not going to advertise on Facebook. We tried that for a while. I'm done supporting communism, Marxism, socialism, anti-Americanism. I'm done. Done. I just wonder how long it's going to be for God's people to be done with it. I know that's not real popular. Okay? Easy for me to say because I'm not a techie social media guy. But I'm telling you, folks, something's bad wrong there. Bad wrong there. And they say that senator in Missouri is like a bulldog right now after those guys. And I say sick them, amen. But anyway, I don't know that Rabshakeh was yelling concede, there's voter fraud. He probably wasn't yelling that, but I was just trying to wake you up a little bit on Wednesday night, you know. And by the way, I thought it was very nice to watch a presentation tonight without looking through the shadow of a microphone cord like we have for 19 years or so. And it was very well done, all right? So, King Hezekiah, he was told about the threats, and he watched a bad situation turn worse. And so he realized, I need the prophet Isaiah's help and prayer and wisdom. So he sends his messengers to give Isaiah the lowdown of what's happening and so forth. And when they get to Isaiah in verse 3, this is what they say. This day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy. And here's the reason why. The children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. So he uses an illustration here to picture how weak his people were to do anything about this bad situation. He says the children are come forth to the birth, and there's not strength to bring forth. Hezekiah said the degree of our weakness is great. It's like that of a woman with child coming to the point of delivery and not having enough strength to complete the birth. Now, I am no expert on childbirth, thankfully. I have never wished that I was a woman so I could give birth to a child. That's never been anything I've wished. But I do know that when a birth draws out longer than expected, longer than usual, and at that delivery moment, okay, when that birth lingers, it could be dangerous, and it requires great strength. And by that time, a lot of times, the mother is wiped out as far as strength goes. I remember, you know, Leah came in 1 hour. We showed up at the hospital. The nurse examined my wife, said, "Oh, you're going home." Didn't even put her in a gown. Said, "Just stay in your clothes. You're probably, you know, not. And so examined her and said, "Yeah, you'll probably go home." The doctor came in and examined her and said, "Get this lady to the delivery room. She's about to have this baby." And so I won't tell you which hospital it was, but that was our experience. And Leah came in 60 minutes or less. And so we figured with Cherith, baby number 6 would just be even faster. But we got there on Wednesday morning, October 23rd, and my wife never had one of those epidurals, and she wanted one, and they gave her one, and everything stopped. And it was all day long, all day. And then the contraction started in the afternoon, and when it came time to birth Cherith, my wife was out of gas. And I'd been through 5 deliveries, never had really a worry, but I got concerned about her because she was literally out of strength. And so that's an issue. I think somebody, and I wrote this off like Matthew Hemner's commentary, if the woman in travail has not the strength to bring forth the child, which has come to the mouth of the womb, both the life of the child and that of the mother are exposed to great danger. And that's the illustration that Hezekiah is using here. That's the problem he felt he faced. It was time for his people to do something about this situation, and they were too weak to do it. They needed strength, and they needed it now. The child was at the mouth of the womb, so to speak, and the birth had to be completed, and there was no strength to complete the birth. Now, that's what he told Isaiah. So let me make the application for what's on my heart for you and me tonight. Lost sinners need the new birth. Salvation is referred to as a birth. It's a spiritual birth. It's a second birth. You know that. Taught out of John chapter 3. The local church is a body. And the local church is always referred to in the female gender. The Bible uses the words like her and sister and bride in reference to the church. So here is my, I'm not worried, I'm not chiding you, I'm not casting this, but I am concerned about the apparent lack of strength to deliver the child in our services. You know, we visit, we invite, we have special days planned, special occasions, and people come who are lost, and they don't make a move to get saved. Now, I understand the new birth. Salvation is only accomplished by the power of the Holy Spirit. The birth is brought on by the power of God. John 1:12, He came into His own received Him not, but as many as received Him. To them gave He the power to become the sons of God. So God gives that power, okay? But as His people, when we, as the church, assemble, I believe, we assume a responsibility, now hear me, to be in a condition where the power of God can work through us to bring forth children to the birth. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? Now, to be brutally honest, we just haven't seen that kind of power working in the services, and it hasn't been like that always. I don't know about you, I was so disappointed on Sunday. There were several visitors here this past week, and I thought Brother Allen, the bus captains, did a wonderful job of getting the news out and bringing the adults in. And man, we started that service. I felt like the ducks are on the pond this morning. I was excited, and you know, I thought for sure we would see some respond for salvation. We had some really listen. I mean, lock in. Okay, I won't go into great detail, but they locked in. And I know some of the parents had made a profession of faith before. I think the Haman's neighbors had been saved at a VBS sometime before. It was good to see them again this past Sunday. But there were several that were here for the first time, and I hoped they would be saved. I really did. And it just didn't happen. And I'll be careful to choose my words here carefully, but there are some in the congregation who aren't complete strangers to us, but just don't know them well because the amount of time they've been in our services. And we got people here who never raise their hand one way or the other for salvation. Never raise their hand that they're saved. Never raise their hand that they're lost. And I want to tell you something, people. You're one or the other. I'm not saying you folks. I'm saying people are one or the other. They're saved or lost. There's no in between, okay? And what has me is I'm preaching to them. I'm watching. I'm looking. Especially on Sunday when I'm doing a salvation message and I see this look of absolute concern. If a look could speak, the lack of assurance was screaming at me Sunday. And insecurity, possibly even fear on a few faces of a particular person. I've just seen this look on the face for 2 or 3 weeks now when I'm really hitting on salvation, and there's no response, there's no move to respond to the call to be saved. Now, I do know that I believe we're living in a day when it takes people longer and longer and longer and longer. I understand that. I'm hearing that. Well, I think, who was it? I read a letter or I talked to somebody. I think I was reading a letter, and this person had come to church for probably 6 months. Missionary letter. Attended for 6 months. And then finally got saved. And attended as a lost person. Knew they were lost for 6 months. So I'm not trying to do the work of the Holy Spirit here. I have no idea what the contemporary churches are preaching. We've had a lady that, a few months ago, two or three months ago, got saved on a Sunday morning. I preached a very strong message on we are not better than this and how that, you know, these news people are saying about these riots. We're better than this. And I went to Romans 3, you might remember, and just nailed it down. We are not better than this. In fact, this is what man is in his worst state. And then went to Hebrews and said the only one that's better than this is Jesus Christ. And talked about works and all that, not being good. And she's 70-something years of age and told Faith Capps, who was the personal worker at her chair, I've been trying to be good enough all my life. And I realized it's not that. And trusted Christ that morning to be saved. I don't know what these contemporary churches are preaching. I don't know. I know people that have come our way from contemporary churches from time to time say they're sick. Remember Jerry and Gina Capriotti, and they were in a contemporary church. He said, I'm sick of the fluff. The fluff, sick of it. I don't know. I've not been in one. So I don't know. And I don't listen. I don't have time nor interest to listen to any of their preaching. None of it. But, look, and I'm not trying to play the Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to play the Holy Spirit. There are a couple things I know for sure. The power of the Holy Spirit has not changed. Know that. The power of the Word of God has not changed. But I think it's a fair question. I think it's fair to ask you and me, are we prepared for Sunday morning church to have the power of God working through us that is necessary for sinners to be born again? I understand the sinner must be under conviction. I get that. I understand the sinner has to act on the faith that is given them to be saved. And I know in Acts 8, chapter 28, verse 24, even about Paul's preaching, the Bible says some believe not. Some believe not. But then it also says some believed. And you can ask my wife. She sees it. She knows me better than anybody else. And I go home on that list. The anguish of soul that I feel when we have a day like last Sunday, when I think there are children brought to the mouth of the womb and are not delivered. It's just like, ugh. Now, they heard the gospel, and I hope it sticks with them, but will they ever be in a situation like they were this past Sunday to have the opportunity to respond? Do you see what I'm saying? So this is just my concern, okay? It's my concern. So I have, and I'm not the only one baffled by it. You know, a lady told me that she got her New Testament when it came time for the invitation. She reached in her purse and got out her New Testament to be ready when someone came forward to be saved. She was so sure somebody was going to come. So it's just that disappointment. So here's what I want to say. Three things, okay, to make sure that we're ready. Number one is just let's pray about it. Let's pray about it as a church, okay? You know, James 4:4, you have not because ye ask not. Are we asking God to save sinners? Okay, well, God's not saving sinners. Okay, are we asking Him to? That's a fair question. So let's pray about it. We start by asking. Simply asking God to save people who are lost. And we don't wait till we start before Sunday comes. Okay? And we ask Him on Sunday morning before the service, and we ask Him during the service, and we ask Him at invitation time. We ask the God of heaven to use the power of His Spirit through the power of the Word of God to bring conviction to those who need to be saved. You know, if there's no thought and there's no prayer, then maybe God is just waiting on us. I don't know. So it would be very helpful if all of us would just put this specific request on our daily prayer list and ask God to work specifically in this area. Save people who hear the gospel. Bring conviction. Help them to respond. So, number one, let's pray about it. Number two, let's pray with desire. Pray with desire. Here's what Mark chapter 11, verse 24 says. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray. So there should be a measure of desire in our prayers. And people, you know, there is a difference, you know, in a request when it matters to us and when it's just kind of, let's be honest. Okay? There's a difference. It's like the difference in a child's request when it matters to them if they get what they want. You know, mommy, can I have some ice cream? No. Can I go outside and play? Sure. Okay, well, there's no longing in that child, longing desire for ice cream. Mommy, can I have some ice cream? No. But I really need some ice cream. No, you don't. I don't need much, Mom, just a little bit. No, you don't need any ice cream. Could I have just a little ice cream? No, you can't. Well, if I don't get any ice cream, I might get sick. No, you won't. Could I have just a little bit of ice cream? All right. Now, what's the difference? Desire. Okay? Desire. Somebody says, well, it's repetition. But it's not just repetition. It's repetition with passion. It's repetition with desire. So let's pray about it. And when we pray about it, let's pray with desire. Now, in verse 1, Hezekiah rent his clothes, and he covered himself with sackcloth. And he even, when he sent the messengers to Isaiah, he made them wear sackcloth. Because I think he wanted to show Isaiah how serious this was, how much this meant to him. Now, we don't have to tear our clothes. We don't have to put on potato sacks to prove to God our desire. I'll tell you what, folks. God does know our hearts. And if there is no concern or interest in people getting saved, then God would obviously know that, would He not? He would. So what is important to you and me when the message is being preached? Is it important to us that God saves lost souls? Well, God knows the answer to those questions. You don't have to tell me. I don't want to know. Because God knows. And I would throw a question out to you. Did you even consider the fact that there were a lot of lost people here Sunday? Did you consider it? You have to answer. But if you sat in church Sunday and it never even crossed your mind, where are we? We're at church. For the moment, it's the most important thing going on that could possibly go on. Amen? If we believe that. Let's pray with desire. So we're not going to just pray, Lord, like we do so many things. Bless us today. Well, that's real specific. Lord, help us to see people saved, and let's put desire behind it. Number three. Number one, pray. Number two, pray with desire. Number three, pray believing. That same verse in Mark 11:24, Jesus said this, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them." Believe. Now, I believe one of the things that God is displeased with is praying with doubt. When it comes to praying, when God told in the book of James, James said, look, if any of you lack wisdom, let him what? Ask of God. But then he said, pray with nothing doubting, nothing wavering. I'm forgetting the exact words. Nothing wavering. Don't be praying full of doubt. Now look, we all know the story. It's a great story. The man with the child who is possessed by devils. And Lord, help me. I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Jesus had compassion on that man, even though he doubted, and healed that boy. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that sometimes it doesn't take great faith for God to answer my prayer. Okay? But I think we need to pray with faith, believing. I believe that's what pleases God, and I believe that God will be pleased if His church here will pray in faith, believing what God says. Ask. Pray with desire, pray believing. The things that you want, ye shall receive. Look, we can mark it all off as the end of time as it approaches the rapture, and I'm sure that plays a part in it. I'm sure that people's hearts are more hard. I know the Bible says the iniquity shall abound more and more. I get all that. But I also know that one of the earmarks of this age is a lukewarm church. That's neither hot or cold. Think about it. I don't want to become a lukewarm church. Jesus said, I'd spew you out of my mouth. That's nasty. That's how he feels about it. So let's stay fervent. I appreciate the effort that went into, if you're one of those bus captains and you're here tonight, the effort that went into last Sunday to trying to get a lot of people here. And boy, the kids did such a good job singing. Yeah, they really did. It was a blessing. And I understand. I am not insinuating at all that the work of salvation lies in my hands or yours. I'm not insinuating that. But I am saying, I do think we share a responsibility to be in the right mode so that God can work through us, all of us, in saving lost souls. The night I got saved, the deacons met before the service to pray for my salvation. They didn't know my name, didn't know who I was. They just knew there was a boy at the ranch coming in for the service that was under conviction. And I believe, well, I know God answered their prayer that night. And I've kept a warm spot in my heart about that all these years. So let's give it some thought. Let's give it some prayer. Let's pray with desire. Let's pray with faith believing. And let's be ready on Sunday for God to use us. A source through a conduit through which His source of power can move, so that the children that come to the mouth of the womb can be delivered. Can be delivered, okay? Because I really believe Sunday, boy, there was a couple of people right down there that were just I'm up here. I know when people are not paying attention and when they are. And it was there Sunday. It was. And for whatever reason, it didn't move it. I'm not going to twist people's arms because I'm not God. I can't create the conviction. But I want us to be in a position where God can work through us. That's fair, isn't it? I'm not chiding you tonight. I'm not casting blame. This is my burden. I said I'm opening up my heart tonight and letting you see what's inside. That's how I feel. I feel like, man, wow. Man, I hate that. But we'll keep moving and hopefully be ready the next time we have that many lost people in the service. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll please help our church. We have a command, Lord, to go to the world with the gospel. And we know that that's to take the gospel to where people are. And then, Lord, we have times where we have lost people come visit here. We want you to be able to work in the services. We want you to be able to see. We want to be able to see sinners come to Christ. So, Lord, give us a tender heart. Help us to respond. Help us to be ready to move. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us during the week to carry this matter on our hearts. And may we start praying with desire and faith, believing that you want to save these children that come to the mouth of the womb. And I pray there will be power to bring them forth. And we'll be careful to thank you for it, recognizing that salvation is all of you, every bit of it. And we're just allowed to be a small part of being ready for that to happen. We love you, Lord. Bless Brother Sherrod and his wife, Kyla. Thank you for their being with us tonight. Give everybody a safe trip home. Keep us well. In Jesus' name, amen.